thank the Lord today for his goodness to us. Thankful for everyone that's here. Have a pretty heavy burden this morning. Ask that you would pray with us that the Lord will have his way.
Yes, amen.
We want to talk about knowing the terror of the Lord. We want to start in Exodus 34:14. Exodus 34:14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. You know that God is a jealous God. Has he a right to be jealous over us? There are so many people that get jealous over many things in this earth. They get jealous over people. They get jealous over jobs, positions, houses, lands, cars. They get jealous. But they don't have any right to be jealous. It's just something that they're not satisfied, and so this is what comes out of them, is this jealous feeling. But God, who created us and caused us to live before him, caused us to be able to breathe in and out every day, caused us to be able to walk and talk and carry on in this life. We all walk and have our being in him. Even those that are not saved, they breathe because God's breathed the breath of life into his people. And God has a sovereign right to be jealous over that he created, that he caused to be, that he brought into life, that he blesses and takes care of and works out things for. He reigns on the just and the unjust, even those that aren't serving him. He still gives them good things. Why does he do that? He loves his creation. That's why. Just like we love our children, even when sometimes they're not what they should be, we still love them. God still loves us. But he's jealous over us. In Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. A consuming fire. You know, sometimes we have, when you're making a fire in a fire pit or outside or something, sometimes you can get a raging fire going that gets out of control. Or you can get a soft fire that's just barely burning the wood and sends out a lot of heat. The fire dies down and it's just coals. And that's kind of comforting. But when you have that raging fire that's kind of getting out of control and it's getting too high and it's too wide, and you're starting to tell people, you need y'all back up. You know, what are you waiting for? You're waiting for it to die down some. Because right now it's dangerous. Our God is a consuming fire. Down through the ages of time, he has consumed those that refuse to walk with him. He even talked to Moses and told Moses, I'm going to wipe out these people. They don't want to follow me. All they do is complain. They're not satisfied with anything that I do for them. I'm going to wipe them out. And what did Moses say? He said, Lord. He didn't plead and say they didn't mean to do it. He didn't tell them that. They just don't understand. He didn't tell them that either. He said, Lord, all the other people looking on, you brought all these people out here into the wilderness, and if you kill them out here, he said, nobody's going to believe who you really are. You're going to be the one that ends up looking bad in this situation. And Moses pleaded with the Lord not to do this because what's going to happen to your power and your might and your glory. Do you know that that's how we have to look at life? That our lives would represent Christ in such a way that he is lifted up. He is put on display. He is the one that is honored and all. There are many times we can receive a lot of accolades. You're so calm under pressure. You're so this. And you never get ruffled. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how, you can do that. Listen, we better be quick to say, it is not me. It is not me. It is the Lord. Because you and I both know that if it wasn't for the Lord, we would do all those things. It's only the Lord that has changed us and helped us and blessed us. But the Lord expects something in return, dear ones. He expects the life that you're living right now, the fact that you're living and breathing, he expects more than you just going and pursuing your own pursuits. He expects you to come to him and live for him. He created you. You're his children. He expects that. There is no excuse. When you get down to the end of this life, there will be no excuse before God when you have lived your own life the way you wanted to live it and left him out of it. There will be no excuse. God is a consuming fire. He does not. He wants to consume the dross that is in our lives. He wants to consume that is not productive in our lives. But if you won't let him do that and you continue on your path, continue the way that you're going, someday you will be consumed. It says in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. See, we're all coming up to judgment day, dear ones. We're all coming up to the end of life. We're all coming up to where we're going to pay for the life that we have lived. It says that we are judged by the life that we live. How we respond to God. God has appeared to everyone. He's talked to everybody in this room. He has tried to lead you down right paths. He has spoke warnings to you. He has done all manner of things in your life. But there's coming a time when it will be at the end where he no longer will be pleading with you anymore. There is that time coming. There is a time coming when he will just say, depart from me. He has been very merciful to people down through ages of time. All manner of people, all manner of things that people have done and said and all of them are forgivable. All of them can be brought before God and people can be forgiven. There isn't anything that he isn't going to forgive you for. The things that you've done, the way you've lived, the things that you said or acted upon. There isn't anything he won't forgive you for. But he cannot forgive you for denying him. For completely leaving him out of your life. To not allow him to be in there and working and dealing in your life. Coming to him and saying, I'm so thankful that I live. Because without you, I would not live. You are what gave life. People are so confused nowadays. They think life is just granted everybody. They think that this life is just something that everybody is to expect. We have children, they live. They grow up, things happen, then they have children. We have taken this cycle that God put into motion and we have taken it upon ourselves to feel very secure in life. But we live and have our being through him. Without him, there isn't life. There isn't life. There's coming a time when he's going to say, depart from me. And then he's going to cast those that would not live for him, that would not acknowledge him, that would not say, thank you, God, I'm alive. Thank you, God, I'm breathing. Thank you, God, that I can do something productive with my life. Thank you, God. Take my life and do something with it, Lord, because I've been doing a pretty bad job so far. I'm not that happy. I'm not that contented. I don't have a lot going for me. It seems like I'm stuck in the same old routine, the same place all the time. I'm not getting any further ahead. Take my life and do something with it. God will take those lives. He will take people. Yes. And he will do productive yes. things with Amen. Them. He will do that. He is not hindered by anyone but us. Right. He is not hindered for the blessings that can come in your life except by you. So when you say, Lord, not today. I don't want you today. Maybe when I'm older. Maybe when this is over. Maybe when that. Maybe I'll turn to you then. Most people don't intend to just go on out into eternity believing that there's a heaven and a hell. Most people don't intend to go to a devil's hell. I want you to take notice of here. It says that this everlasting fire, hell, it was prepared for somebody.
Yes.
It was prepared for the devil and his angels.
Yes.
Somebody that opposes God at every turn. Somebody that tries to get everybody to go their way against God. Somebody that stands against God's principles just because they are God's principles. Somebody that intentionally goes out and uses all of his powers and all of the imp's powers to destroy and bring down and crush everything that is godly, good, honorable, holy. It was prepared for them. Now, most of us in this room would not say we were that evil. That's what we would say. But there's coming a day. This place was prepared for those that were continually evil, continually fighting against God. There is great punishment here. There is great pain and suffering and a lasting, hopeless eternity. Chains of darkness.
Oh, Lord.
And because we know of this terror that is coming, we plead with men.
Yeah.
We plead with men because we know of the terror of God.
Yes.
A lake of fire. Do you know what a lake of fire looks like? I'm sure you've seen pictures. I've seen pictures. Even films and seen news reports, things like that, of flowing lava. Have you seen that? Have you seen where they take pictures down into the center of a volcano and you see the it's bubbling and throwing up fire and throwing up pieces and everything, and it's all molten and it moves like water. Lake of fire. It is a place that God intends for those to never come out. You are never coming out of here.
Oh, Lord.
But you will never be completely consumed. You will not die there. It will be eternal death. People are afraid of death. They're afraid of death. They do everything in their power not to die. They have all manner of things around on this earth that said, if you do this, your life will be longer. And if you do this, your life will be longer. And take this vitamin and do this exercise and be on this program and don't eat this and don't eat that and this, that. And what's it all for? To preserve our life, to bring it out to where we live longer and longer. And there are people that boast, if you follow this program or that program, you will live longer, and you will be this, and you will be that. But God created these bodies to die. And there is no getting around it. There is no way and nothing that they can do to keep that from happening. No matter what they do, no matter what strategies they have, they still all die. And then they're going to... The soul, the resurrected body, is going to live on forever somewhere. It's either going to live with God in heaven or it's going to live in hell, in this burning lake. Now you know that if all of us probably here in this room have been burned at one time or another. And you know what that feels like. And you know how uncomfortable it was. You know, just to be burned on the hand. You remember how uncomfortable it was and how you couldn't hardly stand it. You would stick it in water, ice water, you know, but as soon as you took it out, it was completely burning again. And it just went on and on. It was maybe sometimes days before you got relief. There's no end. There's no end. Why do we plead so hard? Why do we have services? Why do we invite people to come? Why do we want them? Because we know the terror of the Lord. The Lord is all powerful. He is God. He is making a separation every day between his people and the enemy's people. He is doing that every day. We know. 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. This is why we do what we do. Knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing that he holds life and death in his hand, knowing that when he says it is time for a soul to leave this earth, nothing will keep them here. When he says this soul cannot leave the earth, nothing will kill them.
That's true.
God holds life and death in his hands.
Yes.
Knowing the terror of the Lord, dear ones, we persuade men. We try to talk them. We try to explain things. We try to woo them. We try to pull them. We try to help them in everything. But what happens over and over and over? They reject. They reject. I don't see it that way. I don't believe it that way. I don't think you have to do all of that. Well, I believe in God. Oh, I trust in God. But they live their whole lives for themselves. But we know the terror of the Lord. The fact that there's an end coming. At the end of all of our lives. At our end. A choice is made. When your soul separates from your body. At that day. At that very day. It's going somewhere. It isn't just in limbo. It isn't just hanging out somewhere. It actually is going to a place. It will leave your body at your last breath and it will go somewhere.
Yes. True.
There are many that believe it'll just be darkness, blackness. It won't be anything anymore. There will be no existence. But that is not what God says. God says, I created you. And you have the opportunity to come my way or not come my way. But because we know this, we try to persuade men. We try to talk them into it. We try to help them to see it. We try to warn them over and over. Wouldn't you warn somebody? How many warnings do we give people every day? Don't go in that neighborhood. That's a dangerous neighborhood. Right? And yet you still find people go in that neighborhood. And what happens? Things happen. Sometimes they die. Because they didn't heed the warning. Stay out of that neighborhood. There are times when we have said, be careful now, you know, how you're driving. There's fog, or there's a storm, or there's snow, or there's ice, or there's rain, and all these things. And we know that there's some danger involved here. A little more than usual when the sun is shining. And we warn people, don't we? We say, be careful when you go out there. There's a lot of snow on the ground. It'll be slick. What do we tell them? It'll be slick. You don't want to lose control of your car. I mean, we explain it all to them, don't we, when we warn them? Yes, we do. Do you know that God has explained it all to us, too? He's explained it all. Don't go down this path. This leads to this. And this will lead you further down. This will cause you to come into bondage in a greater way. He warns us about so many things. And yet people go on. We warn people. You can't keep living your life like this. You're going to die. You're going to die if you keep living your life like this. We see them in total destructive mode where they're just throwing their lives away. Do you know they didn't get there in one day? They didn't get there in one day. They started out at some point rebelling against teachings, rebelling against parents, rebelling against all manner of things, rebelling against what's right and wrong, rebelling against, I don't think you have to do it that way, rebelling. And what happened? They get out on the devil's territory and he just takes them deeper and deeper, and all of his imps are around and they all agree, they all say, yeah, you're doing it right. Yeah, don't let them walk over you. Yeah, be tough, fight, you know. Don't let them walk over you. All these things. And what are the mothers at home saying? Don't be fighting. Don't be getting into no arguments with people. You can't be, it's too dangerous to get in arguments with people nowadays. Because words aren't just words anymore. Right. It's not just fists anymore.
Right.
There's guns and knives.
Right.
And there's groups and they don't just fight fair and fair with your fists and you knock somebody down and it's over. No, when they're down, they start kicking and doing
right.
all these things. What do we tell them? Stay out of this. And that's why we preach the gospel. Stay out of this, because this is going to get so bad, and you're not going to want to be there. And your life is going to turn into something that you wished it would never have turned into. And towards the end of your life, if you live that long, you're going to look back and you're going to say, where did I go wrong? If you have a mind enough to know,
Oh, Lord. Or
can even say that. If it hasn't already been stolen from you through all the vices that people get mixed up in trying to squash down their pain and their suffering and everything. If they haven't lost their mind over those kind of things, they might be able to look back over their lives and say, how did I get here? And maybe make a change. But that devil doesn't intend for you to ever have another chance. When you've got one chance, he doesn't intend for you to ever have another one. Why is it that people they come and visit church from time to time, but they spend long periods of time away? The enemy doesn't want you to hear it again. He doesn't want you to hear it week after week after week. Sinners don't sit in our assemblies week after week after week. Why? Because the Lord is dealing with them, and the enemy is dealing with them. And the Lord is drawing them. And the enemy is saying, oh no, you can't go that way. You know, you'd have to change this and you'd have to change that. Isn't it something that the devil knows how you should live? And how you would live if you were living for God. But you'll listen to the devil and accept that from him. And you will say, oh, I don't want to give up that. I don't want to give up that. But if some well-meaning Christian comes to you and says, you know, you need to give up this and that. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe it out of a Christian's mouth, but I believe it out of a devil's mouth.
Wow.
And I don't get saved because I believe it out of his mouth, but I don't believe it out of a Christian's mouth. What's going on here?
Oh, Lord.
Help us, Lord, to understand that we stand in a very perilous, perilous position. We don't know when we get up in the morning what's going to come to us this day. All of us have plans today. We're planning where we're going to eat. We're planning who we're going to visit, who we're going to go home, or if we're going to do this. And we plan to be back out to service tonight. All of us have plans for today. Somebody got up this morning and they didn't make their plans. They had plans, but they didn't get there. They didn't live long enough, or they weren't aware long enough, or now they're in a hospital, or now they're under medical treatment, or something is happening, that we don't know. But people are willing to live their lives on a chance. A lot of people won't gamble, you know. There's a lot of people that will. But you know what they say? I'm gonna take $50 with me. I just heard this recently out of somebody's mouth. I'm gonna take $50 with me. That's my limit. If I lose that, then I don't play anymore. I heard that. But see, we're playing for something more serious than $50. We're taking a chance on something more serious than $50. We're taking a chance on where we spend eternity. Or we're taking a chance on what tomorrow's going to bring. Because when you reject God today, tomorrow's bringing something. There's something coming your way tomorrow. There's going to be something on the way. You remember the young brother William got saved on Sunday and was gone on Friday. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That happened right here in our congregation.
Yes.
What a blessing.
Yes.
Because that Friday was coming.
Yes.
You see, that Friday was coming. But he yielded on Sunday.
Lord, thank God.
Is that wonderful?
Thank you, Jesus.
Do you know that God wants to save us from a lot of things?
Yes.
That's a something that we saw right here in our own congregation. Uh-huh.
Yes.
We've heard about it other places. You've heard lots of stories like that. We witnessed it. Where are you going to be this year? Where are you going to be next year? What's going to happen to you? What things are coming your way? What kinds of heartaches? What kind of problems? What kind of medical problems? Physical problems? All manner of problems? Financial? Whatever. What's coming your way? No, I don't need God. I don't need the Creator that can take me through all my trials, bless me through all of my afflictions, heal my body, bring me out on top over and over again, help me to be content even when things are falling down all around me. No, I don't want him. I would rather take my life in my own hands and do it my way. Because have you been doing a good job? Has it worked out for you so far?
Lord, help us.
Everything is perfect. You're in just a wonderful place. Wouldn't change anything. Lord, help us this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Deuteronomy 30 and 19. Deuteronomy 30, 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. See, God sets before us life and death. What happens? We are born. He gives us life. We are heading towards our death. Everybody knows they're heading towards their death. Everybody knows they're heading towards their death. There isn't anybody that escapes it. So he's given us life. He sets before us death. He sets both of them before us and says, which do you prefer? Do you want to live on forever in a wonderful place, or do you want to die and forever die in the other place? A death that never comes but is always dying. It's always like you're taking your last breath. It's always like you're dying over and over. All everything that is felt and it's there over and over and over. I set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. Do you know that God cannot bring blessings on people that will not serve him? The blessings are reserved for those that are his children and willingly give themselves to him to receive the blessings. There are so many of our families and all around us that call all the time wanting blessings while they live in a cursed place. They live under the curse, but they want to be blessed. It's contrary. Does the Lord help? Yes, he does. Does he honor our prayers? Yes, he does. Does he honor every single prayer that we pray when they call us and ask us to pray for them? No, he does not. Because he cannot give them the same blessings that we receive as his children. He would not be a just God.
Amen, that's true.
Even judges, even we know that when judges make judgments in court, that there are certain things that deserve worse punishment than other things. And when we see it get out of whack, and that somebody can spend more prison time killing an animal than killing a person, we know it's not right. Something's out of whack here. We understand that. Why can't we understand that our life cannot bring forth blessings, and it cannot bring forth peace, and we cannot have all these things working for us when we live on the other side of God's blessings? We don't live in the pathway where the blessings flow. We don't walk that way. We don't walk down that road. So how can the blessings flow to us? But we can have blessings. And every promise in the Word of God is ours if we live right. If we do what God wants us to do. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters.
Amen.
You cannot serve two masters. God is a master. The devil is a master. You are serving one or the other. Now, you may not be serving wholeheartedly the devil, and you may not be serving wholeheartedly God, but you're either on one side or the other.
That's true. Amen.
You can't be over on the devil's territory and try to do good deeds and good things and think that that's going to work.
That's right. Amen.
It won't. The good deeds are good. And it will be a blessing to people that need those good deeds. But it will not help you. It won't help you. You can't serve two masters. Oh, dear one. There are some that live among us that feel like they have things in their lives they know they shouldn't have. They have things in their lives that they participate in and they do. And they take part of. And they really know they shouldn't. And yet they're claiming the Lord and they're living for the Lord in very much in their life. But they have this maybe this one area where they have this thing. Just picture yourself standing before God on Judgment Day. And you know the first thing you're going to want to say on that judgment day? You're going to say, I'm sorry I was doing that. I shouldn't have been doing that. There's anybody, you're not going to be shocked and surprised. All of a sudden you're going to be faced with the real consequences of your actions. We think because we're still living and we're maybe even coming to church, maybe we're even praying. We think that we can just go ahead and not do the whole Word of God. But that's not true. If we lack one point, we're guilty of all. So we can't let things live in our lives and be there. We can't do that with no opposition. Because on that day, our first reaction would be to apologize to God for it.
Yes.
And to ask for forgiveness, but it'll be too late.
Yes.
It'll be too late. But people live with those kind of things in their life. Your treasure. Can't serve God and mammon. Mammon means riches. Your treasure. What you really like. What tempts you. What bothers you? Those kind of things. You're going to have to put it to death. You're going to have to want God more than that.
Amen.
Because if God were to appear to you, the first thing that would come out of your mouth is, I'm sorry, I've been doing so-and-so.
Oh, Lord.
Listen, dear ones, there's no sense in us saying that sometimes when we come into real sickness and real things and we're in dire straits, that we don't go to apologizing to God. What are we apologizing for? That we got sick? May not have even been our fault we got sick. That isn't what we're apologizing for. What we're doing is we're looking over our life and we're saying, I'm sorry I've been doing that, and I'm sorry for this, and you know, you want to get it all straightened up because you're really in trouble now. Yeah. See, there's coming a day when you're going to be really in trouble and you can't fix it. You have to stay on top. Choose life. Choose life in all these decisions. Stay away from the things that are questionable. Choose life. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." See, we people have a tendency to be like herd animals. Wherever the most people are going, the road that most people are going down, they feel comfortable to be in the middle of that crowd going down that road. It's kind of a natural almost thing that we have where we feel more comfortable if there's a bunch around us that are doing the same thing. We don't want to be the one that sticks out doing something different. But it says here that there's going to be many that go down this road to destruction. That the majority of them are going there. That the biggest crowds are going to be going that way. Listen, anywhere where the biggest crowds are, you need to be careful about those places. Wherever the crowds are, wherever they all have to go on Friday nights, wherever they all have to go on Sundays or Saturday, where everybody has to meet, where everybody has to go, where everybody's doing the same thing, when everybody's this, that, and the other. Those are dangerous places. Because everybody, that means the people that are a little bit good and not all evil, the people that are half and half, and the people that are really evil, they're all going the same place. They're all going to the same things. They're all attending the same things, looking at the same things, enjoying the same things. They just don't all do it in the same strength. Some of them do a little, some of them do medium, and some of them do it all the way. But it's all still the same. You're all grouped together and you're all doing the same thing. But it says here, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. There is a narrow way that leads to life. Life outside of cursing. Life with blessings. Life with help in all your trials, your troubles. Strength when you need it. The blessings of God. All the promises in the Word. It is a narrow place.
That's true.
You've been in narrow places. Where you've had to squeeze to get into places. Some people are very claustrophobic, and to squeeze into those narrow places is a very difficult thing for them. Been in places where you have to turn sideways in order to get through, you know, that type of thing. It's not a comfortable place, is it? Do you know that our life is not going to be full of comfort? This narrow path, this narrow way, it's not always going to be comfortable, but it's going to be blessed.
Amen.
It's not always going to be laughter and merriment and joy. There's going to be some tears.
Amen.
It's a narrow place. And there's few, it says there's few that are going to find it. Few are going to make this place. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven. Unless you don't believe in a God, then you think there's nothing you're going to. But everybody believes they're going to heaven. There's this good place out there that we're all going to. And yet we're living all these different lives. Do you know there are lots of people that are after the same job? And one of them is diligent and works hard at his job, and one of them is just lackadaisical. They both want the job, they both want the advancement, but who's going to get it? I mean, we have this around us all the time, to where we can see how life happens. God has put this all in order that we can see over and over, that unless you're diligent, unless you mean to walk the straight and narrow, you're not going to get by. God has it there. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There are so many people out there that say, why am I here? Why am I here? This is the answer. Why you are here. Fear God. Keep his commandments. That's your whole duty.
Yes.
See, we forget we were created beings. We think we have, because we have life and we're breathing and we're walking and we're talking and we're moving our arms and legs and everything, we think that we have control. But it's not true. God created us. We wouldn't be here if he hadn't created us. So what is the whole duty of a created being? To do what the Creator wanted. Now, listen. If there is some scientist in a science lab somewhere, and he invents a robot, do you think he wants a robot that goes rogue? Do you think he wants a robot that doesn't follow the program? Do you think he wants a robot that you get tell it one thing and it does the exact opposite? Is that what he wants? No. You know what he will do? He will scrap that model and he will start over to get the model that will do exactly what it's told. Why? He's the creator. He has a purpose in creating it. There's a reason and things that he wants it to do. We have been created beings, dear ones. Our whole duty is to fear God, keep his commandments, to do what he wants us to do. Why? Because he wants us to all live together in the end. He wants to take us home. He wants to take us back to glory, back to where we can be with God all the time, where we can be with Jesus and God, the angels, all the other people that have died before us that put God first in their life. When we can go to that place. But because we don't see it and all we see is here, we think that we're supposed to gather in as much fun and joys and this and that here on this earth as we can get. And that's our duty. That's our sole purpose. But it's not. It's the opposite of our purpose. Our purpose is to serve God, keep his commandments. So, James 4:14. Through 17. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? Amen. We don't know what's going to happen today. We don't know what's going to happen a half hour from now.
True.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor. Just a vapor. You know what a vapor does? When you're boiling a pot of water and you see that steam come off. You see that steam come off? It disappears. You only see it for a moment and then it's gone. You can't see it anymore. That's what our life is. In the scheme of eternity, it's a vapor. It hardly has any lifespan at all. It hardly has any meaning at all. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. In other words, if the Lord will. Oh, we have so many plans. People are planning right now. There's a whole bunch of people right here in this room planning for retirement. Have put things in order for retirement. You know, you've signed all those papers and you're starting your 401ks from your work, or you're putting a little money beside, or you're buying this or that and storing it up for what? for retirement. You're making plans. But you don't know if you'll reach retirement.
That's right.
There's many, many people that have put that away and never reached retirement, and somebody else enjoyed the benefits of all they did.
That's true.
But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. I rejoice in my boastings. Listen, I've got it settled. You know, I've got this put aside. I've got that put aside. I've got this figured out. I'm set. I'm, you know, we heard about that man that built those barns in the Bible. I had this bumper crop, and oh, this is going to set me up for life. So I'm just going to build a barn, put more in it, and it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. I'll be set. I can just sit back and relax. But it's always required that night. He never got to enjoy all that. He just had the thought of building bigger barns. He just had the thought of that. But he didn't make it to building bigger barns.
Oh, Lord.
Therefore, unto him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It is sin. When you know, I should be doing better on this. I should be in church. I should be here when the doors open all the time. I should do business with my soul. I should allow God to work with this thing in my life. I should not be doing this little thing. I know other people don't do this, and I'm doing it, and I'm making excuses for it, but I know I should not be doing this. It'll become sin to you, dear ones. Because when you know you should be doing something and you're not doing it, how are you going to stand before God and give an excuse for that? How are you going to stand before God and say, well, I thought I had more time? That's about all anybody will be able to say truthfully. I thought I had more time. I intended to take care of it. I thought I had a little more time to do that. I was just going to indulge just a little longer. You know what that means? You know what that is, right? I know I shouldn't have this second piece of dessert, but I'm just going to indulge today. Tomorrow, I'll be good. This is how people live their lives. I'm just going to indulge today. Tomorrow, I'll do better. I'll do better. Listen, we know the terror of the Lord. We know what's coming for all people that do not live for him, that do not accept their duty and their call to duty, which is to fear God and keep his commandments. When they don't fulfill that call, there is something waiting them. It isn't blessings. It isn't happiness. It isn't even, in this life, it isn't even happiness. It isn't anything. It is destruction all the way. It is time for us to think about our souls. Think about where we're headed, what we're headed to. Don't worry about what you think you're going to have to give up, because God gives grace for whatever he wants you to give up in life. And listen, if you've been living in sin, there's plenty you need to give up.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell you that it's going to stay, because it's not. There's plenty you have to give up. Because it's going to lead you to destruction. It's going to destroy your life. It's going to destroy your mind, your body. It's going to destroy you. You're giving up something that is destroying you.
Yes, amen.
Lord, help. Yes. Think really clearly this morning. Don't leave this building without doing business with God for your soul. To do what God is calling you to do, and you know he's been calling you maybe for a long time. And you know that you've been just kind of playing with it and trusting that somehow you'll get by. You won't get by. It will not happen. You're either going to suffer in this life or you're going to suffer in the year after. One way or the other. Amen.